Welcome to the Ada Bible Church Beyond the Weekend podcast, where we debrief the sermon, focusing on extra points of connection and what there just wasn't time for in the message. We hope this podcast will encourage you to study God's Word and grow your relationship with Him. You'll appreciate the conversation most if you've already heard the weekend sermon, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of Beyond the Weekend podcast. Well, hello. Thanks for joining us for episode 2 of Beyond the Weekend. You asked for it, where we're tackling big, hard questions from you, and they've been really challenging. My name is Amelia Rhodes, the Director of Discipleship Resources. Joining me today is my co-host, Stephen Lewis, Pastor of Spiritual Formation. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks. This is so much fun.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's been fun to get back in the rhythm, and I've had a lot of people ask, when is it coming back? And it's been fun to say, hey, you asked for it. So we had a great conversation with Brad today, and we pulled back the curtain because it's Thursday. We explained that in the conversation with Brad. Mm-hmm. So we're all out of rhythm a little bit. But, you know, Brad is taking this high-level look at this big question of where is God in my pain? And I don't know if there's like a harder question than that.
No, yeah, trying to tackle that in 35 minutes is, I applaud him, and he does a great job with it.
Yeah, he did. We've talked with him a lot about his sermon and sermon rehearsal and the outline, and there are dozens of different directions you could have gone, but landing on the life of Joseph was really just powerful. It's a story that I know I've related to many points in my life where I feel like I'm in a pit, and we had to climb our way out with God's help. And so I just thought Joseph was a great choice. So we have a great conversation queued up with Brad. And stick around till the end, because you all had so many questions. We couldn't answer them all in the sermons. And so we're going to do a little rapid fire at the very end after we talk with Brad and answer a couple more questions. It feels a little bit like being in the hot seat.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is I think we get to pick which ones we answer, which ones we don't, though.
This is true. We can select. Yeah. So we've got some more questions that we'll answer. And then, again, this topic is so big. We have so many resources that we can offer. And we mentioned a couple resources throughout the conversation with Brad. But at the end, again, we're going to rapid fire a few more resources on this topic of finding God in our pain. But that conversation with Brad, he talked through the differences between an intellectual answer and an experiential answer to our pain. So it was some interesting conversation there. And then really just overall, we talked about the Bible, pretty much cover to cover, the Bible, and the fact that the Bible doesn't shy away from our pain. And that's something I've heard you say several times. Yeah. And so then you shared a story about the death of a dream.
Yeah.
And turning to God in that. And then this truth that we're all in a period of waiting. We're in the already of what Jesus has done, but the not yet.
Right.
And that we get to bear each other's burdens together as the church. So stick with us till the end, because there's so much to this conversation. It was really rich. But before we jump into the conversation, Stephen, kind of recap where Brad went, or where we're pretty sure he's going to go since it's Thursday. The sermon.
In the versions of the sermon I've seen so far, there are 3 points, and it's really about, the first one is about how God is present in our pain. And I think that right there is maybe what a lot of people need to hear, mm-hmm. is that they're not alone in their pain. You can feel it. And a lot of Christians over the years have probably felt it. But then I think if they persevere through and trusting that God is there with them, mm-hmm. and he promises he will be. And then the second one is that God is working in our waiting. And that's the thing that, like, you don't have to get through your pain before God can use you.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, that is a huge thing. It helps take the focus off from us and mm-hmm. put it on, like, okay, hi, God, what can I be doing right now? I don't have to wait for this all to be resolved. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is how God gives us perspective on our past. And I just love that end of how Joseph's stories end, and he just talks about how, like, you wanted it for bad, God created it, God used it for good, mm-hmm. and how we can see that. That's a little bit about my story, mm-hmm. is how I can see how God used that, even like really hard time. But yeah, good, strong sermon.
And what I love about Joseph's story, one of the things is he's like a type of Christ. He points forward to so much of what Jesus will do. So rich conversation, rich in pointing us towards Jesus and the ultimate hope. So let's join that conversation with Brad now. Well, hey, Brad, thanks for joining us today for episode 2 of You Asked For It. We're going to pull back the curtain a little bit on our process because, you know, we're all sitting here on a Thursday afternoon, uh-huh. and we normally record on Monday. And so we just came from your dramatic reading.
Yes.
Which I have my script here, a dramatic reading of your sermon. So you haven't preached this yet.
That's right. Yeah. So hopefully goes well this weekend.
And we're, you know, shifting up our schedule a little bit. We can maybe blame Stephen. It's Stephen's fault. That's why we're here on a Thursday. Why are we here on a Thursday?
Yeah, we're taking our spiritual formation team to Dallas to a church down there who does a great job with different ministries, and they're hosting a church leadership conference. And so we're all headed out. Sunday after you preach, we'll all be flying down to Dallas for a few days. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Get back in.
I am actually gone on Monday anyway, because you normally record on Monday, right? I'm going with the Kentwood campus pastor, Ben Vaught, and we're headed to Nashville for a conference. So,
okay.
Yeah. Conference week it next works. Week.
Apparently, yeah. This is conference season in church world. Yeah. So April, May is often where church conferences happen.
We're all going to come back with so many ideas, maybe. Yeah. So thanks for being flexible. And I know you just talked for like an hour, you know, so it's fresh. The sermon is fresh.
That's right.
And it's going to be great. We're really looking forward to it. And while this is the sermon series is just swinging big, big, hard topics. And your topic is just so big, and you could have gone so many different directions. How did you pick this one? It's bold.
Yeah. So the question specifically, I think I resonate with the idea that there are people in our congregation who are going to navigate a season of pain and hurt and struggle. And the reality is we don't get to pick that. We don't get to choose when that happens. And so, yeah, just my heart kind of aches for that. Mm-hmm. And just a desire to, I don't know, help people have a few handholds for when that season happens.
And I know it's been hard to even select a passage. It's such a big topic. Yeah. And we know that in one 35-minute sermon, 40-ish, you know, you can't cover it all, even in a conversation with a podcast either. In fact, you and I worked a little bit together on outlining this, and I don't know how many previous sermons and passages did you pick before we landed on Joseph?
Yeah. I started in Psalm 73, where David is just expressing, like, why are all these bad things happening? And we just felt like that didn't land in the space that we would hope that it would land. I moved through and outlined a sermon on John the Baptist when he gets to the point where he's about to be executed, and he's asking a whole bunch of questions about even the questions like, is Jesus really who I thought he was going to be? Because if he is, why is this happening? And again, it felt like, wow, that would be really great content too, but it just doesn't move to the space that we're hoping and giving people really those handholds that we, that we're hoping to communicate in this sermon. And so landed on the story of Joseph, which is, I mean, it's 13 chapters of our Bible.
So much of Genesis. Yeah.
I mean, it covers a lot. So you'd think it would answer all the questions.
There you go. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of text there.
And the more I studied it, wow. Oh, man. I love his story, but also it does land where I think we can just give people the hope that we see, the perspective shift that I think God gifts us through a season of pain.
Yeah, and Joseph makes a pretty clear statement where he saw God in his pain.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't have Joseph whining anywhere in the story. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were to cover my stories of significant moments of pain, honestly, there would be like more whining than Joseph has. Yeah. You know, I might actually even end sometimes where Joseph ends, but there'd be more whining.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, Stephen, I heard you mention earlier this week that so much of the Bible talks about pain. The fact that you went to two or three other passages first shows the Bible does not shy away from this topic.
Yeah, if you think of think of just major characters you want to work your way through the Bible, like Adam and Eve, right? Like one of their kids kills another one of their kids. Mm-hmm. That, like, as a parent, I can't even imagine that, right? And then you go to like Abraham, he has the pain of infertility for like 100 years or something like that. You know, it's a long time. Moses has the pain of going into the wilderness for 40 years. You know, Pastor Jeff kind of wrote a book on that called like The Land Between, like your time in the wilderness and the pain associated with that. And then David has all these different stories. You talked about Psalm 73 and the pain he suffered there. And then you want to move forward to like Jesus. Obviously, you talked about that this weekend and on the cross. And all the disciples except John, I think, are executed or mm-hmm. martyred mm-hmm. For their faith. And John just gets away with being exiled. That doesn't sound a whole lot better. Mm-hmm. And then you think about Paul and the suffering he went through. And so like every character in the Bible
mm-hmm. yeah.
suffers. Yeah. And so it's a reality that the Bible doesn't shy away from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you almost called it like a book of tears. Yeah. Like there's mm-hmm. so much pain.
Every page seems to have some kind of pain on it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then I'd heard you say too, Brad, that you have such a heart for people who are in pain and struggling, you walking with them. And mm-hmm. I know you mentioned like Romans talks about weeping with those who weep mm-hmm. and you didn't yeah. want people to think we were just trying to theologically explain away pain.
Yeah. 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 That was my fear. Someone who walks into one of our weekend services in one of our spaces and they're in it. They're in a season of hurt. I just really felt that. I mean, I just hope someone knows and can see and recognize that we have all kinds of spaces where our hope is to come alongside someone who's walking through a difficult season and not to just think that, oh, when we talk about a topic like this, we're just going to explain it away on a weekend service, but really our desire is to not leave you there. Paul says that in Romans, and he also encourages the church in Galatia, he says, carry each other's burdens. Like mm-hmm. I just the desire that we have as a church to come alongside you. It really, really was one of the, I guess, a fear walking into this sermon that someone mm-hmm. wouldn't see that or feel that from us.
I love that you mentioned that, you know, bear with one another. So many of the mm-hmm. one another's love for one another, carry mm-hmm. one another's mm-hmm. burdens. That reminds me of life in the vineyard, like mm-hmm. Aaron talked yeah. about last week. That's part of what we get to do for each other is walk alongside each other and mm-hmm. bear one another's burdens and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
I just heard a story this morning. It was just a snippet in one of our meetings. We were meeting as a group life leadership team. And it's the end of the groups on campus group season here. And a leader was telling one of our staff members kind of on the way out, hey, there's this guy in my group. And the thing he said to us today was, I would have given up on God in the church if it wasn't for this group. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that's because of pain or something else going on in his life, but that is like, if you want to get plugged in and find like what God has for you in your life, like that's what the church is for. Mm-hmm. And so those are those other spaces that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So often I think we have to clean ourselves up and have it all together, or we have to come to church and put on the face that everything's fine. And what you've done for us, you know, through this sermon is we all struggle and suffer mm-hmm. with pain at some point, and that we're welcome here and we belong here. And this is life together.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. We don't get to pick and choose mm-hmm. when that season happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think too, as we've talked about this, we've been sorting through questions to answer, and you pick this one, and there are kind of like two ways to take this question, right? Mm-hmm. There's the like, why does God allow pain in the world? Mm-hmm. And that's like an intellectual, usually mm-hmm. it's kind of lobbed against Christians or someone who's struggling with Christianity is trying to answer that one. And there's like the intellectual, logical answer to that. And then there's like, where is God in my pain? Mm-hmm. Like, why is he letting this happen to me? Mm-hmm. And that's really the question you're going after. But there are good answers for both of those. And as you think about it, like Christians for the first, like every major thinker in Christianity for the first 300 years, whether it's like Polycarp or Irenaeus or Ignatius or, you know, those type of guys, they all answered those questions mm-hmm. In different ways as they were mm-hmm. wrestling with that even in the first through third centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And speaking of like thinkers who've talked about it, you had mentioned like C.S. Lewis and A.W. Tozer yeah. were some that you had read who had these analogies that there's just not room to bring in the sermon.
Right.
But they're talking about pain and yeah. our choices in it.
Yeah. So trying to tackle this idea of pain and like, where is God in our pain? If you were to scale it back to more of that, I don't know, intellectual level of like, why is there pain in the first place. Mm-hmm. I'm drawn to C.S. Lewis's response to that, where he says, he says it pretty simply. He just says, we're not robots. God didn't create us to be robots. We have free will. And if we have free will, then that means that there are going to be some people who just don't choose to honor God or don't choose to love God. And mm-hmm. when that happens, pain enters the world. And it's pain that not only impacts you, but it can ripple out and impact the people around you as well. Mm-hmm. And so if there's the existence of free will, then C.S. Lewis says that it has to be that pain enters the world as well. So you can't have one or the other. Like you have to, if you have free will, you have pain as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then kind of like to take that a little bit further, A.W. Tozer gives this illustration that I just really like too. He says, if there's free will, well, the next question I think you would naturally ask is, well, is God still in control? Like, does God really have the theological word for it is just sovereignty. Is God in control? And Tozer says, just this illustration about a cruise ship. And he says, there's a cruise ship and it's leaving from New York and it's headed to London. And all of humanity is on this cruise ship. And you could do whatever you want on the cruise ship. You know, you can go to the all-night nacho bar. You can drink a green smoothie, or I've never been on a cruise, but I've heard that there are actually like exercise gyms on the cruise boat. So if you want to, you can get up and on your vacation, go and, you know, exercise.
Just so you know, if you call a cruise ship a boat, yes, you might get kicked off.
Oh, really?
It's okay. Not a boat.
It's a faux pas. I did. Yeah. Okay.
All right. They're not going to let you on if you even decide to go on one.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe we can edit that from the podcast here. And so he says, you can make any choice that you want to. You have free will. You can choose great things or you can choose terrible things. But that doesn't impact the fact that this boat will land on time. Or dock on time, the ship, sorry, will dock on time in London. So it's the idea of that God is still in control, and yet we still have the ability to make wise choices or foolish choices.
Your experience on that trip can go many different directions.
Right, yeah.
Which, I mean, you think about it, that's where you ended your sermon. Was that Revelation 21, right? And here's... Mm-hmm. Like God has said, this is the end. Like I'm going to make all things new. I'm drawing a people to myself. There's going to be a time with no more pain, no more hurt, no more suffering, no more crying. And that's the destination that we're promised. The free will is who's going to choose, you know, to follow Jesus and to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And there's some relationship there, whether you lean, you know, Arminian or you lean Calvinistic, Reformed, about how that all works. And that's not what this question was. So we're not going to answer that today.
And you talked about, you know, God's present in our pain, that he's still in control and he's working. And then, but you really honed in then too on God's working in the waiting. And when I think of like Revelation, we are all in that season of waiting. We're waiting. Christ has done. He's paid for our sins. He's died on the cross. He's defeated. So we're in the already and we're waiting for the not yet. And in that waiting, we all experience, you know, pain and suffering, whether it's, you know, just sin in the world or sin of other people's choices that impact us or our own. And that's where we groan. We're in that waiting. And you talked about Joseph had to have rehearsed and remembered because somebody wrote it down. Moses wrote it down eventually, those things that he knew God was with him. And it's just so fun to think about Joseph sitting in prison, remembering, or Joseph, you know, getting to the place where he's second in command and remembering and having that perspective. Yeah. So you talked about like us making a list and I love that. And you shared a couple things of your own list. Like, what does that look like in your life to have a list and rehearse it?
I don't know if it's just who I am or how I'm wired, but the moments I think that are the hardest for me to just know and be confident that God is good are the middle of the night and just waking up in the middle of the night and just having to literally pull out a list or, you know, remember things in my mind and, you know, repeat scripture to myself and just really believe that, God is still here and God does care. And even in whatever struggle or pain or fear or anxiety that I might be wrestling with, that God is with me in it. So for me, I think it's kind of that middle of the night moment.
I think too, like you gave a list of things that are meaningful for you, or you've seen God show up in the past. And I think there are moments in my life that I still hold on to. It's like, I had no idea where that was going, God. And, you know, you were present with me, like with Joseph, looking back, I'm like, yeah, he was present with me at Potiphar's house.
Yeah.
He was present with me in the prison. Mm-hmm. And he was even present with Joseph when he shows up before Pharaoh and has to interpret the dream. Right. Mm-hmm. And then obviously God seems to have blessed him in that. So he blessed him when he was at his lowest, and he was with him when he was at his highest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just trying to remember that and kind of create that mental note of, I think that really lines up well with what Pastor Jeff has talked about so long with the gratitude list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, you can be grateful for things in your past, but Pastor Jeff, I think, is calling us to be grateful for things in our present too. Mm-hmm. Even when we're in the midst of the low, like how has God showed up today for us?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether that's through a friend's text or a Bible verse or a meal or stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was reflecting on this. There are so many passages that hit on this topic throughout scripture, but I was remembering back to 2020, 2021, when we were all in the season of COVID, and life was just hard for everybody. Like, we all were in a point of pain and confusion and not knowing what to do. And, you know, many of us had kids who were trying to school at home and do our work from home and everything from home. And I remember just being just desperate in that time, confused and worried and not sure what was happening. And it was during that time that I turned to Romans 8. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of became my list, Romans 8, over and over. I just read that chapter over and over and over during that year. And it became my favorite chapter in the Bible. And there's so much in that chapter alone that talks about our groaning, how creation groans with us, and our present suffering isn't worth comparing to the future glory. Just so many good things. And then tucked in there is that famous, you know, God works all things together for our good. Huh? But in the middle of that, it's all about like suffering and pain and the ultimate victory that we have in Christ. And in there, that section where it says, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and that Jesus is on the throne. And so when I think of where is God in my pain, that was just such a thing, a picture I clung to, that Holy Spirit's interceding, Jesus on the throne interceding for me. And there are things I look back on my life and I don't know what they're about. I don't know what God was doing still, and I still cling to that, but the Holy Spirit's interceding. God's not done writing the story, and there is an end yet to come. And so, and that was the season where I just became really drawn to scripture. And after that, got convicted of, I don't know God's word like I should. I felt very shaky and unsteady. And that was when I started, okay, let's read through the Bible. It had been 20 years since I had read, really read through the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. And it just made all the difference in my life.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you mentioned Lewis's first point about free will. And the second point of like, why does pain exist is often because it causes us to grow. And it's one of the tools God used. I think Jeff talked about the creativity of God in a sermon series. Was that last summer? Maybe it was 2 summers ago. And that's what you're expressing is like, God took this season of difficulty for everybody, but also for you personally, and really challenged you in it and caused you to grow through it. And so like, that's where the intellectual and the like experiential meet is like, these are the intellectual, but that's how it lines up experientially.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what the growth that we see in Joseph. If you really look at his story, you know, he starts out kind of this young, maybe immature, maybe talking about his dreams with his brothers in a way that maybe he shouldn't have. We don't know. But then to get that perspective at the end, to be able to say to your brothers, you meant this for evil. Yeah. But God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. I am just astounded every time I read that line. And what a place to end, you know, his story and that perspective. You talked about God giving us perspective, you know, for the saving of many lives.
Yeah. And I think similar to your story, I don't think we're going to get perspective on everything. I think there will be some things that we just look back and we say, I have no idea. I have no idea. But what our hope is that Revelation passage.
Yeah.
We know our God is bigger and he can redeem even the darkest moments of our stories and somehow use that and give us a perspective where one day he will wipe away every tear and there will be no more pain. That's why I think I really wanted to land there, because I don't know that we'll always get the answers now, but there will come a day where we'll be able to see a little bit more clearly why did I have to go through that? Or what was that pain all about? How was God moving and using that for ultimately for his good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see a glimpse of that, I think, in Revelation.
And we don't always get to see it in our lifetime.
Right.
It stretches beyond.
Yeah.
But you see, like that last line there, for the saving of many lives. Right? Mm-hmm. We lead Joseph's story and we're like, I don't think I'm going to be involved in saving many people's lives.
Mm.
But it's not true. Like, yeah. That's what we're called to as Christians. You know, we're ambassadors for Christ, yeah. Right? And I think of like two ministries that we have, Divorce Care and Grief Share. Mm-hmm. And those are led by people who've suffered loss, who've been through hard divorces, right? And I think they're using their pain to mm-hmm. save many people, mm-hmm. Many people who are also going to walk that same path, whether it's suffered a loss with Grief Share or had a hard divorce with Divorce Care. And I think we all have an opportunity to save people's lives through the work of the Holy Spirit, right? And I'm not trying to mm-hmm. make it all human power, but God can take the difficulty and the lessons we've learned to, like that guy who's like, I would have given up on Christianity and the church if I hadn't been for this group. Like that group, same thing as Joseph, mm-hmm. save somebody's life, you know? Mm-hmm. And the Bible talks about how there's a party in heaven every time somebody gets saved.
Yeah.
And some of those parties are caused from people's pain mm-hmm. and them stepping in mm-hmm. to, you know, difficult things and mm-hmm. using their pain and their personal story
yeah.
to share it with somebody else.
Yeah. Henry Nouwen has a book called The Wounded Healer. And that's exactly that idea, that sometimes our wounds are what uniquely equips us to be able to help someone else and bring healing to someone mm-hmm. else's life.
I think through probably the hardest season I've gone through was 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. 14 years ago, I finished up grad school, my MDiv, and my life goal was to be a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've ever, I don't know why I said it, probably no one here has ever tried to be a missionary. Maybe you have listening, but maybe some of you have gone on a missions trip. So like you go to a mm-hmm. missions trip, you send out letters to basically everybody you know. My daughter's going to Belize this summer with Lifeline, and mm-hmm. we're on that stage right now. Mm-hmm. And think of that like times 10x. So you're not just sending letters to raise support to everybody you know. You're trying to think of who does everybody else that I know, like who do they know mm-hmm. that would send letters? So you send out, you're casting this vision. And we were going to work with a missionary in South Africa. And that was the program. We were kind of doing it for 2 years. We're going to do small groups and teaching a small Bible college there. So we're having these conversations along the way. And around Thanksgiving of that year, we get on a conversation on Zoom with this missionary. And they're like, we're actually going to come back to the U.S. and take a church in Ohio. Of course, it's Ohio.
Sorry.
And that shattered us. Yeah. It rocked our world because here for like 2 years, we'd been feeling God leading us to this specific thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it left us reeling. Like, I don't know, like it was the death of a dream. It was like mm-hmm. the death of whether you could trust God for a minute. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, what do you do next? It was embarrassment. It was shame. It was mm-hmm. like all those things, you know? And so now you're writing back to all those people. You're trying to give people their money back, you know, like all these mm-hmm. things. And honestly, like, I probably spiraled for like 6 months to a year, mm-hmm. Just trying to figure it all out. And as I look back on it though, like that is the foundation to like my adult trust in God
mm-hmm.
is how he preserved me through that season. And there was another significant disappointment that came after that. And then the next season of life led me to Ada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've never experienced a season of more meaningful work mm-hmm. than I have here now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all built on that foundation of incredible disappointment, but really strong trust
mm-hmm.
In the midst of death of a dream
and
being rocked to your kind of core.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, you know, and the way we lean into God, we have a choice. We can turn toward him in those or we can turn away from him. And I think, you know, there many people out there who maybe want to turn to God in their pain and don't know how or don't know where to start. And you gave a couple great examples with Divorce Care and Grief Share of ways that things that we're offering to walk alongside you. And we'll put a link in the show notes, like care@adabible.org. We can help you get connected when those are launching. Fantastic resources. But I think too, you know, one, our campus teams and Brad as mm-hmm. a campus pastor, I know you get this a lot. And it's our honor to walk with people. Mm-hmm. What does that look like if somebody is for the first time, like, I'm going to reach out. I've maybe never done this before. It takes incredible courage. We know that to reach out? How would you encourage someone, like what that looks like, and maybe take some of the fear out of it?
Yeah, that's great. You use the two words that I think I would use, courage and honor. Courage, you know, last week, Aaron's talking about being stuck in sin. And one of the ways that we break free from that is by pulling it out into the light and maybe sharing that with one other person. And so to have someone who steps up and says, this is what I'm struggling with. This is the sin that I know I want to break free from this. That takes so much courage. Mm-hmm. And so for someone to do that, I just want to, it's hard at first, but to take that first step of, breaking out and sharing that truth that this is what's happening. And when it comes to pain, kind of the same thing, being able to share that with someone else, who can then come alongside you. It takes a little bit of courage. Mm-hmm. And then honor that, you would trust us as a campus team, as care staff, who would come alongside you with your struggle or with your hurt and your heartache, your pain, that we would help you begin to take those next steps towards either freedom or care through that process. And logistically, to just give a little bit of, you know, voice to that, it's not scary. Yeah. You know, it's an email or a phone call or a text. And most likely it'll be at a coffee shop or at our offices, and a real casual conversation where you can just open up in a private and confidential way. And then we can point you towards resources that we have here, whether that be just maybe a few more conversations with Steph here, whether that be a small group or a mentor or a professional Christian counselor. Mm-hmm. We would love to figure out what that looks like for you to take that next step as you navigate through that struggle or through that pain.
And I know I've experienced this, and we probably all have, and just part of, you know, being on church staff, I know there are many times that we are the first people that you've ever shared something with when you come and say, I've never told anyone this. We do not take that lightly. It is a holy space, and we hold that with high honor to be some of the first maybe that you've ever told to bring that to the Lord. It's just an incredible privilege to be trusted like that and to be part of your vineyard walking together. And I know I serve on the prayer team on Saturday nights at Cascade, and it's just an incredible honor. And there have been women who've come forward in the moment, responding to God's work, sharing deep pain, and then to see them ongoing on Saturday nights and be able to check in, or them to give an update, or here's what happened this week, or here was the doctor's appointment, or here was the counselor appointment. And just to bear one another's burdens and pray for them in that moment, to be that kind of bridge from tonight until that appointment on Tuesday, or that counselor next Thursday. It's just, it's an honor, and don't let the enemy keep you from coming forward to share or reaching out, because we love you.
Yeah.
That's ultimately it.
And it's not, there's no promise in the Bible that's like, if you're spiritual enough, you're not going to have pain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The promise is that God's with you in the midst of your pain. Mm-hmm. And so being honest about it doesn't make you less spiritual. It just gives you an opportunity to actually have someone come alongside you, like you said, who's so important. I mean, I think through the darkest moments of my life, you need people with you there. Mm-hmm. And so we need that honesty, and you can't just fake it till you make it. Like, you have to be honest about it.
Well, this has been a great conversation, and we could talk for, I think, so much longer, but I don't know that people would keep listening for another 30 minutes. So. But thanks for stepping into this so prayerfully and carefully and tackling this. It's just a joy to serve with you, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
Well, what a great conversation with Brad. We could have talked, I think, a whole lot longer, but I just love his heart for our congregation and for people in this topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so he talked about how he was drawn to it, and that's who Brad is.
Yeah.
He wants to step into people's pain and walk alongside of them and really care for them well. Mm-hmm. And I'm just incredibly grateful to have people like Brad as our campus pastors.
Yeah, and to walk alongside people in their pain when they come forward, just what an honor. And this is such a big topic. We can't cover it all in a 35-minute sermon or even like a 30-minute podcast conversation. Right. But it's been a highly talked about and taught topic. And we have more resources that we wanted to mention and we didn't get to in our previous conversation. And I had a stack of books I was going to bring and I left them at home. So I'm just all out of sorts this week. But one of them is called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy by Mark Vrogop. And it's really about lament. Mm. And I thumbed through it, read a couple chapters, and I've heard a number of people talk about how powerful that has been. And it came out of a challenging place in their life. So he walks through three Psalms of lament and the language of lament and the Book of Lamentations. And so that's a really learning to lament, learning from lament, living in lament. So a fantastic resource for that. Another one you've mentioned is by Philip Yancey.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pastor Jeff sometimes talks about the book called Lament for a Son by Wolterstorff, one of those good Dutch names, I think is a Dutch name. I'm not Dutch. So about just the importance of lament as well.
It's really what do we do in our pain? And the Bible gives us that language of lament. Yeah. So those are a couple of great resources. And you had one by Philip Yancey.
Yeah, there are actually two Philip Yancey books. I think it's like God in Our Pain. And then he wrote that book. And then kind of there was a follow-up because he got a lot of questions. It was like, well, I'm more like disappointed with God. And how do I deal with that? And I shared a little bit of my story. And that's where I found myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, I am in a season of disappointment with God. And that's not really a great place to be when you're talking about like the creator God. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I need to work through this. And the good news, I think God's big enough to have those conversations with him. But the Yancey book really kind of walks you through, okay, what do you do when you're disappointed with God, disappointed about something where your life didn't turn out the way you wanted or something bad happened? Mm-hmm. And so that could be a really helpful resource for people.
And then another one goes along with what we talked about, that life in the vineyard concept, that we get to bear one another's burdens and walk alongside each other. And while we as church staff consider that a huge honor, we know it's not only our job. This is something we all are called to do as believers with each other. And sometimes it can feel like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. That has been me all the time. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Paul David Tripp, who I love, has written a book called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. And it talks about how God often calls us as believers to walk alongside each other. It's not always the professionals or the church staff. It's our calling as well. Mm-hmm. And so he gives some great equipping for how you can be God's instrument and walk alongside. And we talked about, you know, being the wise last week, the wise that someone can walk with, and also that God's working in our waiting, that he can take our pain and use us to help others. And so that would be a great one if you're wondering, how do I walk with someone in pain? And then you mentioned The Land Between, which Jeff Mannion wrote.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm, about his own story and that space in between. In the wilderness.
And that really resonated with me. You know, I mentioned like it was in that season coming out of stuff in my story, and The Land Between and Rebuilding a Life were two of the things that really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. About Ada Bible Church.
Yeah. And then I think you had mentioned that Tim Keller has a book.
Yeah. So Keller has a book. I haven't read it. It's called Walking with God Through Pain and Suffering, but I haven't read much from Tim Keller. That's not good.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that. And then I was thinking about Tim Keller because we talked a little bit about the intellectual versus like experiential or, you know, type of idea. And, you know, if someone's considering intellectually, like what's going on, what do I need to think about? I think Keller's Reason for God really answers a lot of those intellectual objections, including pain and suffering, really well in a kind of a simple way that, you know, his writing is so brilliant and yet accessible at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a great book to start with somebody who's kind of wrestling intellectually with it.
And that might be our record for amount of resources and books mentioned in a podcast.
Record for amount of resources, but record for least amount of books with us.
I know, because I forgot them all. So we'll put all of the links for those books in the show notes so you can find those easy access. And then I think we've got a few minutes. We can answer a couple more questions kind of related to this topic of pain. And they're challenging questions, so I'm glad you're here to help answer. But deep questions, and we know these all come from a place of hurt and experience. And so as we answer these, some of these we're getting into, you know, rapid fire best we know how to answer. But again, if you're wrestling with these questions, reach out. Our team would love to talk with you, Campus Pastors Care Team. The first question related to this topic of where is God in our pain? Are babies and children of unbelievers saved if they die young without the opportunity to make that decision for themselves?
Yeah, so just kind of like as a disclaimer, this is kind of like we're entering into speculative theology here, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're trying to infer something from maybe the character of God or a verse, but it's not clearly stated in scripture. And so the way I understand this question from the things I learned in seminary, these are types, some of the things we talked about in seminary, was that most Christians believe that kids who haven't had the opportunity to really like reason through and experience enough of life to kind of see right and wrong. Mm-hmm. So like babies and young toddlers and stuff like that, they are in heaven. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it ties to a question we did last week about like the kingdoms, the size of the kingdoms with a narrow road and wide path. And if you think about the amount of babies who've died over the course of the history of humanity, you know, heaven will be full as well, if that's true. And again, it's all very speculative, but you look it up in different Christian question answers, and they all seem to settle on like, yeah, we think this is, you know, there's a passage in Isaiah, I think it talks about like children don't know enough to reject the right and choose the wrong. Mm-hmm. There's a passage in Romans that says like, and it's talking about people's guilt, and it's like, the things in creation are clearly seen and understood concerning God. And you're like, well, I don't know that like a 2-year-old can get that.
Yeah.
Surely they can do wrong because they will hit their siblings and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're without sin. We're not trying to say that. But, most theologians that I've read will hesitantly offer the answer of, yes, we think they're in heaven.
And I've often heard it described that there's an age of accountability or an age where you can reason. And that might be different for each child in their development too. So thanks for tackling that.
And I think like in my own kids, I didn't feel pressure to rush them into making a decision for Jesus because I trusted in God's character. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it gets into like the, it's not just about this, it's about the whole thing. Like I trusted in the character of God. And so I didn't try to rush them to say a prayer. I was always trying to get them to trust God and teach them what that meant. They're 14 and 16 now. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, they both have accepted God's free gift of life. But I never felt the pressure of like, oh, I wonder if they're at the age of accountability. What am I going to do? You know, type of thing.
Yeah. Then another one that's kind of related to that is, how do we know that God is with us even in our worst moments? Mm-hmm. Great question, because we've all had our very worst moments.
Yes. I just think the Bible is full of promises that God's going to be with us. You know, we looked at that in the Joseph story where you see like God was with him, God was with him, God was with him. You know, I think though, like Jesus, okay, so Jesus is in heaven. That sounds like a great place. The earth compared to heaven, not a great place. Mm-hmm. Jesus personally comes down to not a great place to be with us, right? I think they sometimes use the word like tabernacled with us. He resided with us. He lived with us. And so like if Jesus is willing to leave heaven to come down and be with us, we can have trust that like this is a God who cares about presence and cares about being with us. And then the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit being with us all the time and how we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and how like we have this promise of new life inside of us, but the sealing of the Holy Spirit is significant.
Yeah.
Like it's not just that God's with us, it's that God's in us. Like he's taken up. So like you talk about, oh man. Okay. So we talked about the tabernacle word, like the tabernacle, they build the tabernacle to signify God's presence. There's a smoke above it, right? That signifies God's presence in the camp. And then it talks about Jesus coming and tabernacling with us, with people. And then it talks about the Holy Spirit comes in and we are his temple. We are his tabernacle. So he lives inside of us. So like the whole story of the Bible is about God drawing people near him. And whether it's good moments or bad moments. And to me, that's like, you can look at key verses and promises, which is great. Like that's, I'm not trying to demean that at all, but like the whole story of the Bible is God trying to draw near to us.
God wanting to dwell with his people
and
going to incredible lengths to make that possible, despite how awful humans have been.
How we keep rejecting him, you know? Yeah. And there are verses, right? There's like Hebrews 13:5, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a quote from, I think, Joshua. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus saying, I'm with you always, even to the end of age, right? Yeah. So like God makes very explicit statements, but yeah. also the whole story of the Bible yeah. is that as well.
And I think the moment the one I always point to and remember is that God sent his son to die for us when we were at our absolute, when we were his enemies.
Yeah.
He died for us. The cross is proof. While we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly, not because we were good. That's in Romans 5:6-11. And so just powerful reminders that it's his character and what he does. But that permanent dwelling of the Holy Spirit is something we talked about in strengthening your faith for the women's ministry mm-hmm. through Book 2 and the Holy Spirit, of that our position is permanently sealed.
Yeah.
Not dependent on us.
It's so, I mean, I think you can hear in my voice that I'm excited just thinking about it and talking about it.
Yeah.
So.
And when you consider you are the temple, the holy temple of God, and really dig into that throughout scripture, it's so powerful.
And it's all about what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, we get that privilege from him. He granted that privilege to us mm-hmm. as our, his God's adoptive children.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. These conversations have just been so encouraging mm-hmm. and challenging, and we love your questions. Check out all the resources in the show notes. And then next week, we'll be back with Pastor Aaron. Yeah. I think he's talking about the end times. So we say we're waiting. We're waiting in the end. What mm-hmm. may be a great preview of Brad pointing towards Revelation. So I haven't seen the notes, so not sure what we're going to talk about, but definitely looking forward to that and that conversation with Aaron next week. So
should I read Left Behind again for next week, maybe?
Maybe not. I don't know. All right. So thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Ada Bible Church Beyond the Weekend podcast. We pray this conversation was helpful and encourages you throughout the week as you seek God's help to grow in his word. You can find all resources mentioned in this episode in the show notes, including a link to this week's sermon and the current sermon series. We hope you'll join us next time for the Beyond the Weekend podcast.